Welcome to the M3 podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here.
Welcome back to another episode of the M3 podcast. It's your host, Mermaid Bree, and we got Gabby again here catching up on life with our savage Southeast Asia adventures.
Savage. It's absolutely savage.
We were just talking right now, catching up, going over all of our notes, and we realized that even though it's only been a week, so much has happened. I can't even believe it feels like a lifetime.
It does feel like a lifetime. It feels like we've been here for months and months on it. It feels like we live here at this point.
We've been to Phuket, Bangkok, Malaysia. And then we got to Uluwatu, and all of that's happened in 7 days. Not even.
Five.
So here we are enjoying the beautiful life of Bali. But before we get to Bali, let's talk about Phuket. So, we arrived and Gabby thought when she ordered a double bed that there were going to be double of beds.
We were stoked. We were like, wow, look at this resort. We thought it was just going to be a hostel. We get to this resort hostel place and we were so excited. We were like, wow, this is such a change of place than what we're used to, because we had been kind of thugging it out a little bit with our other our other hotels and Airbnbs. And yeah, I thought I had booked a double bed, and then we walk into the room, and it's a very small room, probably 200 square feet, if that, one bed,
like a full size.
Yeah, in a fishbowl, yeah. We could see into our neighbors' rooms, they could see into ours, everybody was trying not to look, but it's very difficult, there's two girls, that's where it all started for us, with people thinking that we're together.
So double means like a full-size bed to Americans. And so we didn't realize that that's what our double size standard was. But we had an absolute blast there. I actually really love that location. Mm-hmm. But we recognized that all of the life and party and happening areas were on the opposite side in what's called Kata, I think.
Yeah, Kata. Side note, Jermaine from the UK, if you are out there, hit us up. We're trying to find you.
We just think you're so cool. You're
seriously.
And we went out to what's called, I want to call it Putang.
Putang, pee pee, fuck it. Panini. Krabby, panini.
So we get to Putang. Putang. Mm-hmm. Putang.
Yeah, I think it's Putang.
Putang. And I mean, like, this is like a Las Vegas strip. Seriously. On the island, basically, pretty much. Well, I guess it's on Phuket, but yeah. It's still crazy in the beach life. I could only imagine if Vegas was on a beach, that's what it would look like.
It was like Vegas, but also with a very sinister twist to it, because there are like the go-go dancers, the ladies of the night, and it was hard to watch because they were just, it was sad. Like, they weren't, you could tell they were not enjoying themselves. It looked very demeaning.
Yeah.
It was rough. It was an interesting thing to watch. And it just felt so old school as well.
Every single woman's face that you saw looked sad, depressed, they weren't happy to be there. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting to see compared to usually I would hope, like, yeah, if you were somebody attracted to a go-go dancer, yeah, like that's the sex appeal you'd want somebody who would be interested in you, not unhappy to be there,
right? But it just seems, I mean, I can only imagine what comes with that and the amount of like just disgusting experiences that they have and just being degraded constantly by foreigners all over the world.
Yeah. And I mean, it was the best word I could describe Thailand was aggressive. Yeah,
very aggressive.
Everything was aggressive. Very masculine energy.
Yes, yes.
So we had a great time at Illusion, which, funny, it turns out I'm a shy little girl and I don't even know how to flirt.
Bree does not know how to talk to guys.
She pushed me into a guy and I literally screamed and ran away.
Oh my gosh. Because we've been trying to be good about, like, don't miss an opportunity. You know, get out there, push yourself out of your comfort zones and meet people and connect with people. And so finally, Bree found a guy that she found remotely attractive, and I was not going to let her miss that. And I literally shoved her into him. Like, she was trying to run away, and I literally pushed her into him. Like, no, you're going to stand right in front of him. You're going to get his attention, and we're going to connect. Hell chaperone.
I was so so embarrassed, so shy. But then it ended up working out because then we went to the bathroom, we came back, and the guy and I actually made eye contact, connected, and then danced for a little bit. Yes. It was pretty fun for the few moments.
The cutest dance ever. Yeah. The shyest dance. It was like watching a gorilla just like look at a little kid.
Like, we had like all of our parents chaperoning us.
I know. I know his friends are swarming around. Like we're all watching. They're asking me, "Was this your friend?" Like da 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 da. I'm like, "Yeah." We're all just trying to see what's going to happen next.
So we had a great night at Illusion.
It was wonderful.
And then the next day, yes, the next day we had to leave.
Yeah.
So Gabby took advantage of her opportunities. She had amazing connections, and the Italian boys ended up following us from PP Island to Phuket.
Yeah,
they changed their travel plans. I mean, the people, what I just posted a podcast about how love is one of the greatest motivators.
It is.
And I mean, look at what they did. They Seriously. Changed everything, planes, everything, yeah. boats for Bo- you.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing. It's funny because I was just thinking in the shower, cause I have all my best thoughts in the shower. Just like, you know, what one person won't, another one will. And it feels so nice because with this new connection with Eder. That's not his name. Oopsie. With this new connection, it's just felt so easy. And it's just been very enjoyable because I don't have to, I don't wonder, you know, like he just picks up the pieces, and the way we communicate is, he just speaks to me in a way that I like and I can understand, and it just feels good. Like this guy changed his entire travel plans to come be with me and come see me.
And I believe you can teach people to love you in a certain specific way, but this person just gets you.
Yeah. We definitely have a decent connection, and I could feel that even dancing with him. Like it was just like our bodies are very synchronistic with one another. So it's exciting for sure. We'll get more into that later.
Sadly, we had to leave, though.
I know. So. Rode off on a motorcycle into the sunset.
And then we ended up going back to Bangkok because mistakenly we were like, oh, we should just leave and fly into the same city. Don't do that. If you're traveling around Thailand, figure out where your last destination is and just fly out from there. It would have been a lot easier because...
This was the beginning of a nightmare and almost death.
Yeah. So we get to Bangkok and we were trying to scavenge just for food, for errands. We just wanted to run a few errands, and then we couldn't find anything nearby. So we asked a tuk-tuk to give us a ride. And for one thing we wanted, he ended up taking us on this like extravagant tour.
You guys, you have no clue what we are about to say. No clue.
We got totally ripped off.
We got ripped off like a mud trucker.
Doing him a favor.
He was like, oh, like you help me, I help you. And we're like, okay, whatever. He was like, you know, there's like this fair going on, this festival going on because of the New Year. It was Chinese New Year. And we were just like, whatever. Yeah. He takes us to a diamond store. And
because we're American.
Yeah, because we're American. And these women were trying to sell us diamonds. And we were like, no, we're good. And then he takes us to this high fashion, I don't even know how to explain it.
Like a tailored suit, tailored dress,
tailored store. And we were like, no, we're good. Like, can we just go? And then he ends up taking us to the black market of Bangkok.
I mean, like, this was sketch. It was like, everybody, again, is in cahoots. So, yes. It was like, he, like, talked to one of his friends. Friend brought us back to the, like, we were going through, like, sweatshops.
Yeah, we were going through sweatshops. We were going through, like, the front of it looked like regular, you know, there were the food stands. There were, like, little shops. And then it turned into sweatshops. And then it turned into just, like, weird, dark, little crevices, alleys. And then all of a sudden it led to this one alley
that was full of illegal stuff.
Yes, full of illegal stuff.
So we ended up finishing up because we were like, we kept going on the tour like, we don't want anything. But he kept taking us on all these places and he kept saying it's helping him, he gets free gas, blah blah blah. So we finished the tour, we get dropped back off, and then he ends
tour.
Up
the tour,
yeah,
the dark side of Bangkok tour, like it was
he rips us off for like, I think our tuk-tuk before was like 40 baht, and this one was 1,000.
We had to talk him down because the original.
We didn't even have that much cash on us.
No. Well, originally it was supposed to be 5,000.
Yeah.
To him.
Stupid. So he was like 1,000. Then it ended up being 400 baht, and that was just us leaving upset. And then we ended up finding this beautiful church. I don't even know how to explain it. Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw it was a Hindu temple, a Buddhist temple, and we celebrated Chinese New Year's there. That was really pretty.
It was gorgeous. It was amazing. And it was just nice to see the culture too.
Yes.
You know, from a different light, because the things that we had done in Thailand were very touristy. And we both agreed that, you know, that wasn't our last time in Thailand, because we definitely wanted to go back and experience it again in a different light and really experience the nature, the culture. But, you know, what we had while we were out there was very touristy, very populated, very aggressive, very busy.
I mean, the joke we kept saying was, you snooze, you lose. So
literally.
Everybody wanted to just push their way into wherever they wanted to go.
Seriously.
So we get to the airport. We are heading out from Bangkok. And our goal was to get to Bali at originally, I think, like 4:30 p.m. or so.
So excited to catch the sunset.
Yeah. We had like all these plans for when we check in. And how did we get to Malaysia?
So we're on the plane. We're about 2 hours in. And all of a sudden, they're trying to bring the drinks, and they immediately stop. And the pilot comes on the intercom and announces that we have to make an emergency landing. There's been technical difficulties, and we have to land the plane. And we look outside our window, and we're extremely close to the water. Like, I don't know how high up we are. I can't even
say. We could
say,
see the boats, but we could so
see,
clearly.
Yeah, we could see the boats. We could see the reef. I thought it was clouds, but it was reef. And we're like, what is happening? And we kept going down and back up and down and back up. No answers. We land in Malaysia, and
it's
we find
an hour
out.
Descent.
Yeah, it was an hour descent. We land in Malaysia, and they tell us that someone had opened the door on the plane. And their excuse was they thought it was the bathroom, which is outrageous. Like, there's no way. It is. That's not real. Like, there's no way. A giant door with a bunch of levers. And I, how long were they back there? We were in the front of the plane, so we didn't get to see any of this. But somebody opened the door on the plane. It cracked, and the cabin started to lose pressure.
Yeah. So we were really confused. Actually ended up getting nervous. And then when we landed, I mean, Malaysia looks beautiful.
It was gorgeous. Yeah, but we could see it because we were so low.
Yeah. But it was just delayed flight. We get there. Then we finally take off again on the same plane. They reboard us both back on the plane. Technicians, everybody, engineers, they all did an inspection. And then we got to Bali, I think, around 11 p.m. instead of 4 something.
Yeah.
And then
it was horrible.
I don't know how, but the form I gave Gabby to fill out that I filled out with her, mine, I even saw my email. My email, everything, I just saw it yesterday going through my phone, because we'll get to how I lost my phone. But I was looking for emails to get confirmation, and I actually saw that I filled it out, and I don't know why they wouldn't let me.
That's so weird.
So weird. So I ended up spending about an hour in customs while Gabby went right through and skipped the whole line because we filled out the form.
Thank goodness. I needed to sit. Like, my tummy was hurting. I needed to sit down. I got to connect with a woman in Australia. That was nice. But yeah, I'm very sorry that you had to do all that.
Okay. Yeah. So we ended up getting a ride to our villa. I mean, our villa is beautiful, but again, savage, because there's been a lot of
Animals
and insects and
dogs fighting outside.
Yeah. Chickens at 2 a.m.
Oh my gosh, their circadian rhythm is like completely off. Or not circadian rhythm. I have a little bit of a island brain right now. But their clock, their internal clock is off because these chickens have been going off at 2 o'clock.
It's like 1, 2 in the morning. Yeah.
Like roosters, I mean. And it is just bananas. And the dogs are fighting. We saw a crab. We saw a giant crab.
Trying to box us.
Yeah, there's some type of dragon in my room. but the funniest part of all of this is it's what traveling inevitably does is you just make peace with these things. You're just whatever.
The cockroach fell on me. I didn't make peace with that. I trapped it.
That was different.
And then thankfully we have a cleaning crew that comes every couple of days, and I just waited for them to pick the cockroach up.
They handled business.
It's still dead outside.
I know. They just threw it out the door, but he's done. He's gone. He's no longer with us.
So we get to Uluwatu, and finally I feel like this was the experience that we were wanting. The peace. I mean, we have been go, go, go.
We have.
But we weren't able to get to where the people are. We kept, like, we kept trying to do things. We were, like, it ended up being Valentine's Day, and we're, like, where is everybody?
Yes.
Like, everybody, again, is in cahoots, and yes. There must be a chat.
Couples everywhere. We were, like, what? This is Bali. This is Hot Island. Like, what is happening? Wait, why are all these couples here?
Island of the gods. Where are our gods?
Yeah, where are our gods? We're just like, what is this? We were so excited. We had such high hopes. We're like, we're going to get Valentine's dates. Like, it's going to be amazing. The options are going to be endless.
So people are now thinking that we're lesbian lovers.
Which it makes sense too. We're like, why does everybody think we're together? We sit next to each other at restaurants. We giggle. We embrace each other.
So I lost Gabby on one of the bike rides over to dinner, yeah. And like, it was 10 minutes probably.
Yeah.
But immediately I'm like, I'm seriously just staring out the door, just waiting for her intently. And then you come in, you embrace me so heavily. Yes. And we're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so glad you're okay. Everything's good. I missed you. And the guy next to us was like, wow, y'all are so giggly. What are you celebrating?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think he mentioned something like, how long has it been, like, since you've seen each other? So we're like, 10 minutes. But we've become one. Like, we've been sharing a bathroom, a bed. Like, we've literally spent all of our time together. We've not done our own thing at all.
Well, it's crazy because now we're in our own room.
I know.
And right? It's still like we're hanging out in the same room.
We're still waiting for each other. Like, so what do you want to do today? What do you want to do right now? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I love it.
And I love this town. I love Uluwatu. I think yeah. It hasn't been corrupted kind of like Chengdu, yeah. Which you'll see. Which Chengdu, I mean, is beautiful, but it is like party, yeah. Party. Mm-hmm. So Uluwatu is still like a surf town. It's still farmy. It kind of reminds me of that Oahu, yeah, vibe.
Definitely.
So I now remember our first night, we ride our bikes, we rented motor scooters, which was so big for us to have that freedom, yeah. To be able to drive wherever we want, because Thailand, we didn't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But
it's been so amazing just to be free. Like, there's the feeling you get just being on a bike, going fast, kind of weaving in and out of the roads, and being able to take it all in is epic.
And then last night we realized this is how we're supposed to really drive,
yeah.
With the gangs.
Yeah, so. our biker gang.
But the first night we get in and it's like pitch black dark where we're at up the hill. And there's these like pack of monkeys. And I mean, they look like Planet of the Apes. Like, they were ready to come at us.
It was scary. Yeah. There was probably 30 of them.
Yeah.
And they were staring us down. And they looked like they were like, had we stopped, it looked like they would have pounced. Side note, I don't know if you've noticed, but whenever we go towards Patang Beach, there's some power lines. And do you see the monkeys cuddling on top?
Yes. Yes.
They literally sleep cuddling each other. Like, goals.
Just looking for cuddle,
they're
buddy.
So cute. It's so sweet.
So are the people here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, one thing about Bali that I've realized is everybody is down. The sexual tension is insane.
The eye contact.
I mean, it was, you know, we
even
were
the dad right now.
Even the dad. Store. Yeah, everybody. It's so, at first we were like, where are all the guys? What's happening? What are all of our options? But now that we're in the group chat.
And she's saying this as a joke because she got kicked out of the group chat in the hostel we were in Thailand because we canceled our hotel.
Yeah, and they kicked us out. But now we're in, and it's been, the options have proven to be endless.
So it's like each night you have a different restaurant or bar that you go to, and then they, like, one closes at 11, then you go to the next one till 1, and then the other one gets popping at like from 1 to 4.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone's like riding their bikes from place to place.
So fun.
And it's like 50 motorcycles or motorbikes just going all over, and they're like zipping fast. And I mean, people are drinking.
50 miles per hour.
Did you see that drunk guy last night,
almost
by the way?
Almost falling off. Yeah. It was very scary.
Yeah. Very scary. I didn't even know how to handle that. I'm glad you went past, because
I was like, I can't watch if he falls. Like, I hit him right behind him. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's horrible.
So now we're in the group chat. We're in cahoots with everybody.
Yes.
And we met some amazing people on the way here.
Harry and Charles have been amazing. Like, the kindest souls. They've been so helpful. They're just so fun. And you know that you've met good people when, like, Harry walks into a room and everybody's like, ah, Harry! He knows everybody. He's just the life of the party. And it's been so beneficial to have somebody that is, like, super familiar with what's happening. He's been out here already for 2 months. So he knows, like, okay, on this night we do this, on this night we do this. And it's just made the experience so great because, like we've mentioned before, we wake up, we maybe get some movement in, go to a cafe, and we work for quite a few hours a day. and then inevitably have to rest a little bit. And so it's nice knowing that we have these connections that know where to go and what to do.
And then they actually proved themselves to be real gentlemen when I lost my phone.
Yeah.
So I put my phone in, there's like cup holders in the front of the motorbike. And they had even said, don't put it on the GPS thing. There's like a little phone holder that you can have because people will snatch them. And I put it in the pocket. Everything. It was just a lot of commotion. Everybody was ready to go. And I was like, oh my gosh, braid your hair.
200 people are ready to go. Yeah. Like on
so,
their bikes.
On their bikes. So we just like get ourselves going. We go. And I mean, mind you, we've been so present. And it's really nice to be around people who haven't been on their phones.
Nobody's on their phones.
So I didn't have my phone. I didn't even think to grab my phone all night.
Right.
So hours go by. We're at the end of the night. But then we needed to figure out how to get home. So I was ready to pull up the GPS. Mm-hmm. And mind behold, my phone is missing.
It is gone.
So we think it's stolen. We think a gang got it.
Yeah, we're zipping back again on the motorbike. Like, we're on one side of Uluwatu, and we have to go all the way back to the other side. And we are racing, speeding. Like, the guys are just vroom. We're trying to keep up with them. We're trying to get back. We get to the parking lot, check the location again. Phone is gone.
Now the phone has moved. Yeah. And it, I mean, it had to have been picked up like maybe 20 minutes before we got there.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So I see that the phone no longer is showing a location, or it just was offline. Mm-hmm. So oddly enough, I was like, oh, the phone's gone.
Yeah.
Then I get a phone call from a friend the next day and they said, somebody else answered your phone. And I mean, Balinese people are super nice. I believe it's karmic because just so sweet. So somehow I see this as communication. Language is only what, 20-30% of our full language of communication, right? So if we have spoken language, there's still body, there's still hand gestures, feelings, expressions.
Right.
So these two people, my friend who's 7,000 miles away and these people who are a 40-minute drive are communicating with each other in two different languages, can't speak, but then somehow got to our villa and dropped off the phone, and him and his wife came and literally hand delivered the phone to me. So we're on the phone right now recording. I keep saying I'm so lucky, and I really believe it.
Yeah, it's truly amazing that they even dropped it off. You know, they weren't like, oh, we can meet here. The fact that they came all the way back to drop it off and make sure that you got it is amazing. And hopefully they get all the good karma, because that is just unheard of. Like, in America, you would have never seen that phone again, ever.
I know.
Ever.
And again, just on the topic of being spoken to so nicely, I want to go back to when we were in Phuket, and we had been so used to roughing it out there that they cleaned our room for us. They put all the things away. They made our, like, they made everything up. They did, like, clean towels, all of it. And we immediately were like, bah! Like, so like half of us were like so ungrateful, but at the same time we were just like, why did they do such nice things for us? We weren't used to it.
Like, oh my god, they cleaned the room. Getting upset that they cleaned the room. Turned on the AC.
It was like we were just like, who we've are we
gotten, I know, we've just gotten so used to just like thugging it out.
And just thinking of cleaning stuff too, if you're doing laundry, prepare yourself for a day or two of that laundry not being prepared.
Yeah, so definitely.
Yeah.
It's
prepare your laundry in advance.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, think wisely, or just go shopping. But know that in Bali, it is American prices, but the stuff is extremely cute and it is very tempting.
Yeah.
Very tempting.
So a couple questions I know people have asked are, how many friends have we made since we've been out here?
So many. It's so easy to meet people. It's what's awesome about it is you will be out and about and you lock eyes with someone, you look away, you kind of do your thing, you lock eyes again, and then it's like, okay, we've made eye contact twice, wave, hello, hey, what's up? And everybody wants to mingle and meet, you know? And it's like you're saying, the ways of communicating, right? It's like, okay, is this like, is there interest here? Do you want to be homies? Do you want to connect? It's so easy to meet people. I mean, you just go out. We met these girls. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. They take care of 17 stray dogs on the beach. And it's just, you just have conversation. And what I've realized is the travelers are, we have a common thread between us. And it's just that want for connection, that want for relationships, mm-hmm. and the understanding that you have to put yourself out there. You have to be open. You have to not care what other people think, and you have to be scared and do it anyways, right?
And you've been teaching me that is, hey, this person, you and this person might never meet again. Go yeah. right now. Go exchange information. Yeah. Kind of like Jermaine. Like,
yeah.
we saw him at the end of the night, and his friends had ditched him and or whatever happened. And so we were like, dang, yeah. we should have gotten his information right. to have a good time, because right. he seemed like such a nice person.
Seriously. There's, like, no worse feeling than being like, wow, we had a connection with somebody that could have been potentially lifelong, you know, or at least amazing for the moment. And a missed opportunity happened. So that has been another huge thing of, like, take the opportunity, act on it, act immediately. What's the worst that can happen? You know?
Yeah.
They say no.
Yeah. And then, I mean, so many people were asking us to share our story about the plane. So
yeah.
I'm just happy we're safe.
Yeah. That... We made it. We made it. One thing, and I keep saying one thing I've learned. I've learned a million things, but it's just, it's fear, right? Like, I've always been a very scared person, a very anxious person. I used to have the worst travel anxiety, plane anxiety. So had you told me even a couple of years ago that someday I'd be on a plane that had to make an emergency landing because someone opened the door, I would have freaked out. I mean, even preparing for this trip alone, I was nervous about how I was going to do on the 13-hour plane ride. And here I am, like, all I want to do is take plane rides to the next destination and go to the next place.
Well, you'll be going to Italy in March.
I will be going to Italy in March. So the man.
You're already blushing.
I can't even talk. The man I met on PP, the one who changed his travel plans to meet us in Phuket and also took a boat to meet us in PP and all the stuffs and things.
He's in love.
Got me a one-way ticket to Rome. So I'm going back to America for a couple weeks, and then I'm going off to Rome or Italy for who knows how long.
One way.
Yeah, one-way ticket. We'll see. But it'll be fun. I'll get to see Rome for a little bit, and then we'll go up to Florence, Pisa. We'll do the whole thing. But it just feels like such a movie, and I've always felt like my life is a movie. Like, that's like lucky girl syndrome, right? Like, I'm the luckiest girl. I've always felt like, man, I have these experiences that don't even feel real. Like, it feels like I'm in a movie and I'm in a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And in prior relationships and scenarios, I've felt like I've been shamed for being like that and told to grow up or told that that's not real. And I'm here to say that it very much is real. You know, like, I'm not looking at this as... I'm taking it day by day with what it is, but what I know for now is, like, I'm very much living that fairy tale and exactly how I want my love story to look like with people. Like, I'm very much on my journey, right, of, like, continuing to honor myself and grow in myself, and also, of course, find the one. Like, I want all of those things. I want it all. I want the career and to be a boss woman, and I also want to be a wife and a mom and a friend and a granddaughter and a daughter and all the things.
I can't wait to see you as a wife and a mom.
I know. Aww. Right. I know.
I mean, I can wait, but I can't wait.
right. It'll be, I'm same. It's all I've ever wanted. So, it's very fun to honor that. Like, I'm on my journey and I'm going to date and I'm going to meet people and I'm not going to feel shame for meeting people and having connections and just saying yes and being spontaneous. So I'm very excited to see Italy. I'm very excited to spend time with him. And yeah, I'll keep you guys updated here and there with my little subliminal stories on Instagram.
I think also we're just saying a million things we've learned about ourselves. On this trip, I've recognized that I used to be very, I don't want to say the word short-tempered, but I used to react easily to things. Mm-hmm. And you had even mentioned, and we've had a lot of heart-to-heart conversations, which is beautiful.
All day, every day.
And you've told me, like, hey, when I express something, you don't ever take it personally, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And then I've even had that feeling of, maybe I don't take things personally. I have in the past, for sure. Mm-hmm. But now I'm coming at a place where it is self-development. The way that we react, the cause and effect, right? Mm-hmm. Something happens and we have a reaction to it or from it. And I'm noticing, like, the phone, that was the biggest one that taught me, was, like, I was so calm. You guys were all, like, worried for me more than I was worried about it myself.
Yeah. We were like, what are we going to do? And why aren't you freaking out?
I was like, I have a backup phone. I can go buy another one. They need it more. Like,
I was like, we need to go immediately. Like, we need to get home and erase everything. And Brie was just like, it's okay.
it's okay.
So that's something I've learned about myself is that I'm a lot more calm in stressful situations now than I used to be.
Yeah.
And I don't react the way I used to. It feels really nice to be at peace with letting life be what it is.
Right. Yeah. And it's you lead by such example, right? Mm. And it's taught me so much about, you know, that mindset truly, 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 truly is everything. Because I think when traveling too, it'd be so easy to just be like, well, I'm tired, I'm upset, I'm cranky, I don't feel well, you know, I'm run down. It's been 2 weeks now of just nonstop go, 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 having to figure things out on the whim, on the fly. You're moving heavy things, you're carrying 70 pounds on your back, it's hot, nothing's working out, and you know, everything's working out at the same time. And it's just remaining in that energy of, you know, like it's all right and it's going to be okay. And everything will work out and be fine and we'll figure it out. And just to always remain in gratitude and in love has been amazing. And it has helped shift my thoughts even just with the conversations I have with myself. So thank you.
And thank you. I've literally gained a new family member.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I know. From friends to family.
And now having a phone, having friends, having all of these privileges and everything, it's like, all right, when we're at home and we have everything accessible to us, I actually feel more drained and tired and exhausted and cranky.
Same.
Versus right now, I'm like full of life and excitement and energy. We're running I've slept 3.5 hours last night and 2 hours the night before.
Yeah.
And you...
I've been waking up delirious every morning, like completely discombobulated because I was so exhausted.
And somehow we get like second wins, third wins. We just keep going.
We just somehow keep going. Yeah. Because you go where life takes you.
Mm.
And it's just like, I don't know what's going to happen today. Where it's like back home, it's like every couple of hours is scheduled out. You know, I wake up, I need to drink my water, then I can have my coffee, and I need to work out. And then I need to work from this time to this time. And then I need to take a yoga class. And then I need to make sure I'm doing this. And then I have to go to the grocery store. Whereas now here, it's like, it's, you know, it feels like since we've been in Uluwatu for a couple of days and we'll be here for a couple more days, we're more regulated in the sense of like, okay, we have to run errands, we have to figure out food, laundry, and all of that. And we're still doing the same things that we would do at home in terms of working and movement, but it's different because it just puts in perspective what's actually important and what actually deserves your attention. And it's made me realize how many things don't deserve my attention, like what am I giving my energy into, especially when it's so limited, and what fills me up, and I just want to do the things that make me feel good, you know. So I love going to a cafe in the morning, right? I love getting some movement in the morning. I love watching the sunsets at night. It's just put everything in perspective so much, and it's quite exciting to also be around like-minded people as well. I think that's helped tremendously. It's like knowing that, again, going back to that traveler mindset, that you're around people who get it and understand. Like, we're all sweaty. We all just don't care. We're all in it together. And you can very much feel that energy here in Uluwatu as well. Like, I went to the bathroom last night when we got to Kashi Tree, and this girl was like, I'm so sweaty. And I was like, me too, you know? And we were just laughing because it's like, there's nothing you can do about it. So you just have to get through it.
Another thing that I learned too was we had somebody that was there that I felt was absolutely peacocking and aggressive as well.
Yeah.
And something that I noticed that we've told ourselves is we need to be better about saying no. We need to be better about setting our boundaries, because there's been people who have been, somebody grabbed my WhatsApp and they called like 21 times and left like 40 messages.
Insane.
It's like stupid. So I've gotten a lot better at learning to say no. And I think that's something on a personal journey that I've been like, I need this. I need to speak up for myself more. And last night was the first time I felt so proud of myself in a long time to somebody groped me. And I said, hey, you don't touch without permission. And that's disrespectful. And next time that happens, like I'm going to say, you know, like, I'm going to be more discerning. Yeah,
absolutely. Also kind of insane that someone would think that they have access to you like that.
Exactly.
You know, can just like touch you. It's just quite a weird concept.
No. Ask for permission always. Right. And it's the vibe. So just whoever it is, man, woman, whoever, just be respectful when you're connecting with somebody.
Yes.
And us as humans are learning to set stronger boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Say no. I felt that today when I got hit. Someone hit me on the motorbike.
Yeah.
And he Didn't help me up. Like, I literally got hit in the street, fell off my bike.
Didn't apologize.
Did not apologize. Yeah, I came up, did not apologize. And I kind of held my own a little bit. Like, listen, like, I can acknowledge that both can be true. Like, I'm unfamiliar with the roads.
But you weren't even moving. You were at a standstill, and he came around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. He was 100% at the wrong. But I was, like, willing to compromise a little bit because it's, like, we're driving in a foreign country, you know. But I wasn't letting him. So this guy was, like, trying to tell me what I was doing wrong in the situation, and I felt like I held myself firm, you know, as much as I could without being completely going off on him, because I wanted to go off on him. I was, because I wanted to go off on him and be like, you're out of your mind. You hit me in the street. There's 17 people that just saw you hit me.
And helped you up.
And helped me. Yeah. And you, like, say sorry.
They actually cared and asked if you were okay.
Right, right. Like, it flew off my bike. And it felt good to be like, no, listen, like, I can kind of see your side a little bit, and also here's my truth, and also I accept the apology that you're not going to give me, but get out of my face. Mm-hmm. We don't need to have a conversation. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're turning into savages. We're turning into savages too. No, this trip has just been, I was telling Bree earlier, it's just been the best thing I could have done for myself. I was feeling very uncomfortable and just like just wanting more and just knowing that there's more out there and just being like, how do I get it? And travel has been the absolute best thing, and I just never ever want to stop, ever.
Good thing Italy's on your way.
Good thing, yeah. And then, and who knows what's coming after that.
Well, next week we've got Vanessa in, so mm-hmm. I'm excited for her to join in on this podcast. It's going to be an adventure,
especially because that's when we're going to start hopping around again. And we're going to go to Canggu, Nusa Penida,
back here in the Nubu.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you all updated, and we'll throw out the questions a little bit more in advance too. I needed a phone to ask the questions.
We were down and out. Yeah, but we're back on the up and up.
So yeah, stay tuned for the next one, and we love you guys.
Bye.
Adventure lots in your life.
Ciao.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.